Let's take the McGovern's got 30%. That's 30%, 25% people.
Sure.
Just give them. You remember Goldwater Shops?
Yeah.
Good God, they were fantastic.
Well, so obviously people reacted to it as a crutch.
You know, it's an interesting thing. You know, I was thinking about our campaign in 60. If we had less than 100,000 people in the Bacon City.
Bob, can come down.
No, I'm sorry. I have Bob Fitcher. I didn't know you. And we had less than 100,000. These guys told us
5,000, 30,000, 50,000.
Yeah.
It's the media. I don't know, but I guess we're not getting as bad of a bounce in the media on that as we did previously. A few of them are being quite honest.
No, but this survey thing is just working like a charm.
Tell me about it.
Well, I go to the local organization, but it's closed, and they have, so it says McGovern coming to town, being the leader, see McGovern and Finch come to town. That's and then I do a live interview. And if you're doing what I've been there to do, you know, you don't try to keep crowds.
No.
But when I was with Rizzo, for God's sakes, before he came down here, I met with him at the dance, he called the president, gave the damnedest half-hour campaign speech for you you've ever heard. You know, he always liked
it.
Yeah, but the other thing that worries me is that we've got Grassmuck call, and I talked to Moynihan yesterday, and McGovern is so bad and so offensive even in the academic community. God knows there's no love lost for us there, but
no.
They know that he would be a disaster.
Yeah, the smart people.
Right, sure. And we've got to do a better job, and this is what Pat and I were kicking around. We've got to do a better job and nail these guys down, get them signed up on committees, and we'll just blast the hell out of them. We've got, you know, target areas we never dreamed were
incidentally, Bob, you were avoiding citing a new Republican majority, aren't you? This evening.
No, I use the term, this is a watershed election.
The majority.
And
the majority, as you might see, I know, keeps throwing the Republican in, but I hope all the rest of our people just start.
Well, I say we're remaking the political map and
right.
In terms of that this is the biggest important currents are changing at such a rate that we unlike anything we've seen since Roosevelt. And people respond to that.
Do they?
Yeah. And that's what's exciting about talking to the headquarters and going into the phone banks. You listen to what these people are what the Democrats are saying when they call.
Do you listen to the phone calls?
Yeah, I make a couple of calls. And the big thing, of course, is that turnout factor. Jeez, we just can't let up on that. That's one thing.
I think that the major thing that can be contributed by presidential hearings in the last 2 weeks is massive crowds and excitement. Would you agree? Just say, get the hell out and vote. I don't think anything else can be done to kind of handle issues at that point.
Well, the other thing we talked about, I heard the point in San Francisco today, is and there's Novak piece on going hacking away at Spartan.
Yeah.
And we can win that control. That Senate. Now, how you handle it, I know Connolly's concerned, and I know how.
Well, Jesus.
If we could get control of the Senate, and at least I talk about it privately to the fat cats.
Well, you could talk to all of them privately to the fat cats, and also in the last.
John Tower, instead of making a currency.
That's where you can control a lot of them. There's a lot of media that, as you know, the financial problem.
Signal too soon, labor's going to be reporting to keep their guys. this is why Daley's going through the motions, why they got the organization in Grand South and Pittsburgh. Because they've got to stop that, they've got to break that coattail effect.
Well, I think that's it too. I think the Democratic leaders in many of these places, these prime employees, is solely to that. It's not, says, well, we know they're not going to win. They're sophisticated enough to know that they haven't had a chance to win presidential wise, lack of disaster. But Pennington, they're also aware of the fact that they've got to say that they've got to prevent happening to them what happened to the Republicans and the whole lot of that side. Don't you think that's really what it's all about? But they're going to have a time doing it, my opinion. I mean, I think they're going to have a time in getting people. I have a feeling that people may be setting in against McGovern in a way that is, and for us in a way that is pretty hard to change. I don't, because of things that have gone on so long. I mean, we'll see. He's pretty shallow. I thought he probably would have picked up a far more sympathetic press than he has, but the stuff that ran last night and bouncing around, I believe it's a little bit silly. What was he doing
in
Ottawa?
Well, he was going into taverns and asking people if they're registered and stopping people on the streets. I mean, just a sort of a sheriff-like performance, you know. I don't think he knows how to use his time as a campaigner. And he's never campaigned before.
It's about McGovern having done the big city stops, realize he can't do them again.
What's he going to do?
That's it. What you're going to do is, you know, when you've done the heart of Pittsburgh, once you've done the heart of Pittsburgh, you've done the heart of Philadelphia, you've done the heart of etc.
Yeah, there's no second track.
We remember that, you know. Go in early, and you can't come in the last 2 weeks. What the hell are you going to do? Then you have to go in for a rally or. But I think he's had to do it. He's done it for the reason that they had to get the.
He had to show some movement. They had to. And.
They had some support in the press.
I just say we're going to get the FBI report in. that if action is required, it'll be taken.
Well, they're going to indict today, I understand. You know, curious, they found another bug in the rescue bin. I bet you they somebody planted it.
I think they must have, Christ, you know, they'll do anything to keep the story alive. I wish we could prove it.
Wouldn't it be great if you could find one of them? Too much money.
I don't think, sure, they asked about maybe press conference.
Sure.
But, really thought about the fundamental issues and the point you made at breakfast this morning. Really come down hard on that foreign policy thing. There's just no way that they can respond on that.
That is
the analogy you used to use when Eisenhower sitting down with world leaders, you're sitting down with whoever. No experience, really. I had a check. He's only been in 19 countries. His whole lifetime. And then just quick.
The old man's had a lot of right today, it's not.
Point out that you've been to 82, I thought. No, maybe it's 80.
They were 80 is enough.
Yeah. And the point that registers too is that I say that you talk to me very often about how you learn more on the trips you took when you were not vice president.
Sure.
Than you did when you had to go through all the official.
Absolutely. Well, I worked around the world an awful lot then.
And then
you keep your nail to the economics, I suppose.
And the one thing that always comes through is you can always score them hard and they bitch about the napalm, the bombs and all that. It's just the fact you go back to the last offer, you go back to the fact we're not going to leave our POWs there, and whether they're calling in to bug you on a talk show or whatever it is, you can suggest the government. Walk away and leave us with the experience we had, the French had, what we had in Korea.
Right. And or they walk away, or whatever it says, basically let the communists impose their government too.
And he wants to be their friend. It's incredible naivety.
I think the idea of taking the exact quote from that one out of Fortune, that's the most stupid damn thing they ever said.
Now, they've done a good job getting those quotes, and that thing he said about a month was an incredible thing.
I hated
his guts.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, he said, I got it.
He said it publicly, too.
Yeah.
He said, I hated his guts.
Yeah. I couldn't stand to be around him. I hated his guts.
Yeah, that's the moral of the business.
Yeah. The other very big point of it, I was going to raise this at the fracas, and you can say, well, we don't pay attention to the polls. But in the campaigns in which he ran, the primaries, 15 million Democrats voted in the states that he participated in. Montgomery got 3 million of those. 12 million consciously voted for Wallace or for Humphrey. Humphrey got more votes than Montgomery. And Wallace got almost as many. Now that's how narrow his base is. If you make that point, it drives home to people why
he's a minority candidate.
That he's a fractional candidate.
Fractional candidate of his own party.
Right. And that explains you can remind Democrats they've already made their choice. They voted against him, and then drive that home.
Sure.
Just can't take him on, frankly, the communist issue.
is happening too. You know, literally, you say, why are we getting more blacks? God, I did a thing with, there were about 40 young blacks in Windsor Hills there. You remember, it used to be all white by Leonard Park over there. You see all doctors that lived there when I was being raised there. Now, these same homes, beautiful homes, $50,000 homes.
Boy.
Blacks and
that's beautiful place.
And we raised $3,000 just in the room from these young black lawyers and accountants.
Really?
The guys that had it made. And again, it's not any great affection for Republicans per se, except they got something they want to keep now. And it's a little bit of the Democrats taking this for granted, but by God, no, it's that income redistribution thing that just drives them right up the wall.
Do you use that term, income redistribution?
Yeah.
Find that effective?
Sure, any place.
People who want to have
it. It's just somebody's going to be redistributing your income, they don't want him doing it. But no, you see,
there is. It's really so, you know, social space.
Well, he is, and
he believes in that.
Go back to his Wallace thing. That when he was a delegate to the Independent Progressive Party. That's what it was all about. And that and this kind of perverted populism. And then just a basic inability to make up his mind about anything and hold to it. I mean, he just zings on that. I'd say his positions don't, his bumper strips last longer than his positions.
Yeah. You know, I strongly urge this why. Right, it's a story from the southern. I knew something that my daughter was hiding in the tank, and you went out with a dog, you know, looking for a Jew, that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, for Anderson.
But I said to somebody from the home, and he came in and took a photo, I said, that's where you run the lieutenant governor with your own president that way. What do you think? The president's hiding in the White House? I mean, Lieutenant Governor Anderson, since you couldn't find him at all.
Yeah.
But on that thing, on the debate and so forth, I think this idea is coming back over. The country needs McGovern versus McGovern.
Sure.
Yeah. Really? We gotta find, where does he stand on Thailand? Where does he stand on $1,000, $6,500, $4,000? Which one?
And then the other big thing is the permissiveness. And the great line I use there is if McGovern had his way, the Ten Commandments would be the Ten Suggestions. And it's a good line. I mean, it's that whole permissiveness that.
Do they get that? Like, they know that it's spot on all the rest?
Yeah. That's of course kind of Rizzo looks.
Or Rizzo, of course, thing that's a boy versus boy, and the homosexuality thing could be true of them all. Of course, the library's got some strange looking people around him, but not really, doesn't he? They just
yeah.
Look bad, they look funny.
And
you go out to the average person.
You wonder about that family, too. I don't know why they haven't.
I think the families, that's something we can't raise.
No.
The problem with the family is it's a dopey family. Good God, I mean.
This afternoon in Albany tomorrow.
You're following, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be after him. But I'm going to try to divide. I just talked to Dwight. The hell with Reagan. I'm going to divide my time pretty much half California and half in these forays.
Sure.
You can produce a lot of these. But
I've
got to put some in the bank in California.
Sure. Hell yes. And in California. Don't you think you ought to? Basically what I would call the valley of the Orange County area.
So I did after I left you last
time. Places not to be left out. See, I'll come into L.A. I'll do San Francisco.
I did Sacramento, Fresno, Bakersfield after I left you in San Francisco. We had those goddamn demonstrators that night. We had a hell of a good round. There were 3,000 kids. Roger Morton spoke first. Then they're waiting for me. I was a featured speaker. And they,
Fresno?
No, this was San Francisco the night. You were there in the morning.
Yeah.
And then they started in, on the dikes and screaming and screaming. So I said, all right.
How many were there?
There's just six, and they waited. They
six demonstrators?
Yeah. And of course, I had the friendly crowd, you see. So I said to the television, well, all right, you've taken their picture. Not take a picture of the full audience. Then every time they started raising, four more years, and just. Finally, they just left, and then I just went ahead and finished the speech. But they waited through Eddie Fisher and Rod. just to get at me. But Squire Barron was covering it.
Yeah.
He was a hell of a good story.
Conley's radio talk, which I think why Democrats and Democrats, but which is extremely good. I'd like to give you a...
I'll get it.
I just saw... I'm sure you get a copy of some excellent lines in it. Excellent lines, you know, quotable lines that you can use.
We ought to have about a 5-minute... Why the student athletes? Why? I mean, just set pieces.
Why?
Why is a student I'm for Nixon? Why is a young man I'm for Nixon? Why is a young woman I'm for Nixon? We got to cut this every which way. I mean, young housewife. Ours is such a reasoned case. Ours is such an appealable. So this is such a logical case. We've never had such an illogical man running for. Unpredictable man running for the presidency. This is McGovern. It's just incredible that this man
is. He is.
And then you go back to this arithmetic of how he got to be the nominee.
You know, let's face it, too. You remember we said some pretty rough things about Stevenson. Jesus, Stevenson, I mean, I thought he would have been a second. God, he looks like the second coming of Christ compared to this fellow, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's an intelligent man, a great deal of style.
Then you go back to this incredible arithmetic of how he got to be the nominee, and that is devastating. 3 out of 15 million Democrats.
I'll tell you the truth, sir. You might see now, Scott, it was just a serious matter. Look, give it a quick